Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Regen auf mein Kopf. Hink wie ein Deckel, muss es die kleine Farbe im Top. Geht mir kein Sach mit, die Tropfen.
Welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I'm Judy Gold, and this is our new theme song. It is Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head in Yiddish. What more could you want? I am so thrilled. This week, I get to interview Jake Cohen, who is an incredible person, an amazing cook. What a great personality, an old soul, and a Jew. So I couldn't think of a better guest for Chanukah, which is coming up this Sunday night, and also, you know, Thanksgiving, which is on Thursday, which is a, you know, I'm rethinking my feelings about Thanksgiving, but it is a cooking holiday, so come on. What better guest than the amazing Jay Cohen, who has an old soul? Speaking of which, I will be at Soul Joel's this Saturday, okay, in, I think it's Jacksonville, Pennsylvania. Really good that I have all my information straight. And, you know, you're going to be sick of your family and feeling mental, so why don't you come laugh on Saturday night? It's right by Philly, right by Cherry Hall, you know. Come laugh. We all need a good laugh. And then the following week, I am thrilled for my first live taping of Kill Me Now since March of 2020 with my guest, the amazingly talented, hilarious Colin Quinn. So this is on Thursday, December 2nd at 7:30 p.m. If you're in the New York City area at the 92nd Street Y, do not miss this interview. December 4th, I will be at the Savoir Theater at the Raz Room in Fort Lauderdale. But please sit back, relax, run, whatever you're doing. You don't have to sit back and relax. I mean, you got to get shit done. But thank you for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with Jake Cohen. I love you all. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am so excited. Like, okay, so you know I always have a lot of people I love who are comedians or writers or, you know, authors. But this person is a part of my life now. I have no idea how much, like, I cannot cook anything without checking his, well, now I got the book, Jew-ish. I mean, but I have been following this gentleman who's like, under 30. I want to kill myself, okay? And has accomplished so much. And, you know, Hanukkah's next week. And this month, I don't know if you noticed, I've had two of my favorite Jews on the show, Jewish men, even though they're boys. I love you, Jake Cohen, so much. I love everything about you. I wanted a gay son, but my sons are fucking straight and like really straight. And I know. And your parents and grandparents are so lucky. You are perfect, Jake Cohen. Ladies and gentlemen, Jake Cohen. You are everything. You're everything to me.
Oh my God, the feeling is mutual. I'm so happy to be here.
Okay, Jake, first of all, I'm just going to go with some of the things I've made. Okay.
Okay, love.
All right, I'm good. The challah.
The challah. It's a good challah.
It is the best challah. And I did a round challah for Rosh Hashanah. Oh, God. I should just warn everyone. This is going to be a bell fucking fest. Okay. You know, I ring a bell anytime anything Jewish is mentioned. Okay. I want you to know your eggplant parmesan, the baked eggplant, it's so easy to make. And it's so fucking good. And now, like, all my friends want to come. Like, I made an eggplant parm, and then they were like, so, what'd you do with the rest of the eggplant parm? And I'm like, I don't want to see you. I saw you last night. You're
this
not coming over.
Yeah.
I want to go back, because that's what I do. And I'm just going to say, there's so many things I love about you, and that I feel like I'm so glad you are a white male, gay white male, who's allowed to tell these stories because, you know, where people will listen and it's not some like, let me tell you something about the Jews. The way you found your Jewishness and what you did with that is so beautiful and profound and everything I would want for my children and Lador Vador, the generation to generation.
Yes, that's the goal. I really think that it comes down to like, we need a marketing refresh.
Right.
And that's just it, really. I think too often like Judaism is painted in this like shtetl lens of
misery
and trauma, and it's true because like we went through a lot of it
we're still going Jake, as my mother would say, they all hate us, everyone hates us. Okay,
exactly, and it's just like I want to be in this new age of Jewish joy where it's like where in America things are going okay for us in general. But more often than not, people forget about Jews and the fact that we are such a tiny community that we have these conversations as a country about diversity and inclusion and making sure all stories are told. And then it's like, well, we would like a story told about us that's not focused on striped pajamas. Like there's really like some beauty.
Oh my God, you're me. But it's also, we're less than 2% of the population. And, you know, there is a reason for this. but we contribute so much. And that should be cheered. That should be something that people say, you know, pride. It's pride. You know, we do it. We do it at home. We're always like, when I watch TV with my parents, it was like, you know, Jew, non-Jew, Jew, married a Jew, converted. Like, that's how we watch TV. Any character that came on, Jewish, help the Jews, knows a Jew, you know.
Always. Oh, the Wikipedia page is the first thing you do. You go to early life. Early life.
Jews. I look them up all the time.
All the time. Not stop.
So you grew up in essentially in Queens, right? But then you went to, from Queens to where'd you go? You went to, oh God.
Long Island,
but I had the name. All right. Anyway, now I do a lot of research. And then I was trying to find your parents' names, which is very hard to find.
That's interesting. And that actually came up because my mother was asking about the fact that she and my father were not named in the acknowledgments of my book versus like my in-laws. I just thought that would be weird to thank my mom by her first name. It's actually quite a funny story in terms of my father, because I am Jake Cohen and my father is Michael Cohen.
I know, I got it! I found it! Woo! Michael Cohen, who worked for Trump. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is that Michael Cohen who worked for Trump also has a son named Jake Cohen.
Oh my God!
They thought that I was his son and they're coming to me asking for comment. And it's just like...
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Long guy.
And your father is like a cameraman, like a director of photography, or like a big...
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so funny. Yeah, he's... that's kind of... I've always knew I wanted to get into media, but he was always worked behind the scenes for movies, music videos. Now he does shows. Like he did all of Madam Secretary and...
Right. Oh, then I know him!
We'll definitely play Jewish geography on that one.
And then
he introduced me to the food stylist that gave me like my first gig when I was in high school and kind of got it all going.
Oh my God. Okay. Your mother?
Elizabeth.
Oh, fuck! I didn't think it was her! I thought it was Robin with a Y!
No.
Fuck.
That's someone I used to work with at Time Out. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I knew she worked at Time Out. I was like, no. But see, your father. Okay, so it is. I knew it. I fucking knew it. I was like, oh.
I love this. I love how well you stalk. This is great.
Yeah. Fuck. I was like, it's her. No, it's her. Ah, damn it. All right.
Elizabeth, veterinarian.
Yes, I told. She's fucking great.
Yes, she is. She's an icon.
Oh my God, I knew it. All right, fuck. Okay, you have a sister, Jamie.
I do. Yes. Well, we live. She's my neighbor. She's a few floors below me.
And I didn't get to this yet, but I just want to say you had a B'nai mitzvah.
We did.
Yes, the two of you got B'nai, but you're not the same age, are you?
We're almost Irish twins. We're 13 months apart, so it worked out.
That's great.
So she was 12, I was 13. Yeah.
And by the way, the theme was nautical. Okay.
I hate it. I think we need, like, bar mitzvah's another thing.
Oh,
we need to get,
we're going
to
get to that. We're going to get to that. Okay. So you grew up in Queens with these great parents and amazing grandparents. Now, the story of your grandparents is just so, I don't know. It's just like, I just want to cry. Like, everything about you is so, like, I want to come over and just be with you. And I feel like you're a part of my family. Yeah. So Annie grew up in Belgium. Is that right? Annie's mother, or Annie grew up in Belgium. Is that your grandma or your great-grandma?
That's my grandmother, my mother's mother.
Okay. Grew up in Belgium. Then, because of El Holocausti, went to Cuba.
No, so that's...
Fuck! Shit! God damn motherfucker!
So confusing. It's so confusing. So she was a hidden child during the Holocaust, and her parents went to the work camps and luckily survived. My great-grandfather less so than my great-grandmother, who had a bit of brain trauma from everything. And my great-grandmother ended up divorcing him. But they had two other kids after the war.
Right.
So my grandmother was the only one who was hidden during the war, and then her siblings were born after. And then my great-grandmother brought all three kids to New York, first to Buffalo, and then to New York City, and was a single mother who worked.
Oh, yes, I have that. Yes.
And my grandfather, they were also in Belgium. His father was taken to the work camps, was able to escape, hid out in like a safe house, and was able to grab my great-grandmother and him, and they went on a ship that got turned away at New York and ended up in Havana, which is
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, so they were on the What, the St. Louis? Were they on the St. Louis? Is that?
I wish I knew the names.
Oh, you gotta get the,
I gotta get the names of things like that, yeah. Havana to New York. It's actually this, like,
so you're
this, like,
Jubin.
Romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of.
I know,
my aunt,
but not
my
really.
My aunt's the only Jubin. But then there's this romantic story of then, like, everyone ended up in New York, and
right.
he, my grandfather worked on the stock exchange, and he would, and then my grandmother was like a secretary, I don't know,
right.
whatever. I mean, the people didn't, the right. women didn't have many options, especially immigrants, and
right.
they would, like, she would see him on the subway. And she would talk shit with her friend about the way he would dress and in French, because that's their native tongue.
Right.
And she didn't realize that he also spoke French because he was from Belgium.
Oh, that's
and
hilarious.
Then they ended up meeting at Silver Point Beach Club. And he gave her a ride home, and the rest is history. And it's just like,
did he, I wonder if he ever said, you know, I know exactly what the fuck you're saying about me.
He passed when he passed in 2001 or 2002.
Right.
So unfortunately we didn't have a relationship
right,
in like
right.
an adult life. My grandmother's still around. But it's something that so much is tied to Queens and New York, where
right.
growing up they had a cabana at Silver Point. So my
oh, perfect.
Memories going to the beach
yeah.
there. They used to go on dates to at Eddie's Sweet Shop in Forest Hills for
right.
ice cream, which is still around. And we would go as kids and even as adults. And like now my sister and I bring our husbands there. So
right.
it's just like this, like, to have a family that's so rooted in New York history, which is so common with Jewish immigration stories,
right.
It's really sweet. My grandmother yeah. now, she lives in Aruba most of the year, and then
oh, I'm going to time. Aruba in December.
Oh wow! Well,
you better send
you
her to
anything,
my show.
If you do anything at the Chabad, she'll be there.
Oh God! Okay. I have a lot in common with you. My family. My mother grew up 2 blocks away from me here on the Upper West Side. They are from New York. My aunt lived on, you know, Central Park West, and, you know, my great aunt, you know, everyone. But then we ended up in New Jersey.
Hey, everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin. And I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
The story of your Marilyn, your grandmother Marilyn, who was a poor girl from Brooklyn.
She was. She was first generation American.
Right.
So she was born here.
She was born here. Your great grandmother, who you knew, was born in 1898. Now, and you knew her. So this is another thing we have in common. So my grandmother was born in 1896, and I, every weekend growing up, she came to visit and I shared a room with her, and she died when I was 25. And that relationship of someone who was born in the 1800s and had such, and we were so close, and it had such an impact on me. And it's funny because the things I remember about her the most, and the things that, like, that sense memory, are things in the kitchen. Like the flour thing where we would go like that to sift the flour.
Yeah.
And then, and we would always hand mix everything. Like, it was always around the kitchen and baking. And we made pogachol, which are these sourdough cookies. I made them on Rachel versus Guy, and I got very high marks on them.
Good.
And it's so interesting that, you know, that's what I like. That's the food. Like, we are so about food and dinner table and holiday. And I wanted to ask you, you know, knowing your grandmother, who was born in 1898, like, what impact did she have on you? Like, because they're values.
And she made it to 2001. She passed.
Oh my
God. So to be alive during three centuries is crazy. And for my sister growing up with her, and again, she lived on the first floor of my grandmother's building in Park Slope.
Right.
And, like, she was our great grandma Minna, and we would see her every time we go visit, and she would always make applesauce. That was like her thing. And that's what we remember with her. And even to this day, like, my dad loves, that's the only thing he cooks is, like, we'll go apple picking in the fall and make a pot of applesauce.
Oh.
And I think that it really just laid the groundwork of the importance of family, proximity to family. It's one of those concepts of, like, I could never leave New York. Not only because, like, New York is the center of the universe, but it's my entire family.
Right.
I couldn't imagine that. And Marilyn was, like, when I tell you, she is my biggest inspiration, my hero, because this is this poor girl from Brooklyn who had big dreams, and she kept reinventing herself. She was a single mother raising my father.
And ended up getting her master's degree. When your father went to college, she went to college. And then ended up getting a master's degree.
She got her MBA at Fordham.
How old was she?
She was in her 40s.
I love Marilyn. Marilyn.
She's done everything. She ran the methadone clinic at Beth Israel at one point.
Oh my God.
She worked in advertising. She worked at CBS for a little bit. She was a secretary. And then when she was 60, she got her real estate license. And
oh my God, I love.
Sold apartments for the next 25 years. And it was really, it's like, when I tell you when my great grandmother passed, she was like, she needed to be there to be with her. And she had big dreams. And she's like, she wanted to be on Fifth Avenue when she moved to Fifth Avenue between 8th and 9th in the Village. And
I love her.
It was just everything. And she didn't cook at all. She did not cook.
Right.
But we would go out to the best restaurants. She would be my date for like a press lunch. She said, Gramercy Tavern. And I'd be like, oh, come eat me for lunch. And she really was like, she had more life than anyone. Unfortunately, she passed right before the pandemic.
Yeah, I know. That's honestly so sad.
But it was something she
good.
Had,
it was,
she had she a wouldn't stroke have, before.
Right.
And that was that was so out of left field, and it was devastating because she was someone who loved travel and loved, she walked everywhere and she loved working and she loved all these things, culture.
Oh, the pandemic would have been horrible for her. Yeah.
And luckily we were able to be with her in the hospital.
Right.
And when she passed, we were able to have a real funeral.
Right, right.
And this was the week before lockdown. So this was when everything was starting to happen. We just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, it's blessing in disguise. You know, I believe in L'Ador V'Ador that mm-hmm. For the non-Jews listening, that means from generation to generation. Okay. I believe all our everything is past trauma, Okay. Your father growing up with this strong, strong woman, strong, independent woman. How do you think that translated into his parenting and how he, as a lesbian mom of boys, I feel like they have a different perspective because they don't think women can't do shit and the other thing about them, which I've said on the podcast before, is they have friends who are women. They're straight men with friends who are female, where there's no they know how to. So how do you think her parenting translated down to you?
It's interesting because it really does trickle down in the entirety of trauma.
Yeah.
My sister and I always talk about this. It's like every generation we're the first generation that's truly, we have a chance because we have no direct contact to these huge moments of trauma. It's just the trickle down. So I think with the right level of therapy and introspection that we can overcome it. They did. They were great parents. They are not without their flaws. They are not without their quirks. They are not without their trauma to us. But in general, I mean, it's something that everyone, especially as I was coming up in my career, and you're looking for press. You're looking. You know what it's like when you're just you're scraping for
the story. Yeah, yeah.
And everyone wants a sad story. Everyone wants, they want me to come from something so difficult.
If you want
recognition, you gotta do it. And I'm just very lucky that I came, parents that were completely supportive when I came out. They were supportive of my decisions in terms of career. They've given me everything.
Don't you think that comes from your grandmother? That
100%. It's because that's what they were given. It's this idea that you do whatever you can to give the most opportunity for the next generation.
Right.
In the same way that now my sister and I will want to do this for our kids and build up something. And the one thing that we missed out on because of my parents' generation is so, because they had such direct trauma from their parents, the main thing was family schisms.
Right.
Each other and feuds and moments in which there were so many strained relationships with cousins, with aunts, with uncles.
Oh, please.
Speak to. And that's something that my sister and I are
incredibly
close.
And secrets. Oh my God. The whispering on the phone.
So my sister and I are very close, and that's something that we want to have kids around the same age so that they grow up together. We don't plan on being. We live in the same building. We plan on always staying in the same place. So just to have, give our kids a fighting chance to have family and community and even more of.
I mean, that's what a kibbutz is. I mean, when you think about it.
We call it the urban kibbutz.
My God. We call this building, my neighbors are the kids' godparents. I mean, it's everyone babysit. It was. So you grew up in Bayside, then you went to a magnet school, right?
I did.
And
you're so good at this.
And you were one of two white kids in your class?
Yeah, it was growing up in Queens, it was predominantly Asian. And then there were two black kids, two white kids. The other white kid was Jewish.
Oh.
But it was really, I think one of the things that I also loved about growing up in New York and something that I would want for my kids is the diversity, the normalization of everyone eating different things for lunch. And
right. Having, oh,
and,
that's
and,
yeah.
and because it was a magnet program in New York, it was the same class every year from first grade on. So we would then switch off and you get to know each other's families. And like the class would do these things in which it would always be like cultural stuff. So, or like we had one of my classmates was Jamaican. So we all got together and made like Jamaican beef patties. We had, again, we had so many Asian students, but that's like, there were Korean, Chinese, Japanese. So like one night would be sushi night. Another night would be dim sum. Like,
right.
And I would go with my best friend in elementary school was Chinese, and we go for bubble tea after school. And you just had this normalization of
culture.
Global flavors.
Right.
In which it wasn't like it wasn't unique. It wasn't different. It wasn't something crazy. It was just what it was. And I loved that. And then from there, like I moved pretty much right before.
How old were you? Right before your bar mitzvah.
So like
you
12,
moved to,
I moved to Long
right.
Island.
I read that. And I was like, what a shitty fucking time to move. But it wasn't that far away, was it?
No. But at the same time, you go from diversity to all of a sudden,
everyone's the same.
Everyone's white and Jewish.
Right.
And it just became, it was a fascinating shift.
And don't you feel lucky that you had that 12 years?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think it's, there's just this level of, we talk a lot about like giving that next generation like a fighting chance, but I think in the end they end up too sheltered, and then they're just in this bubble of Jewish community, and they only know.
I know. That's why when you know you're bringing the kids up in the city, I wouldn't, you know, and it's like, oh my god, they're not afraid of anything or anyone.
Exactly.
Nothing. Like it's like whatever color you are, whatever language you speak, they can navigate getting around in other city, you know what I mean?
And they are aware of their surrounding. That's the most important thing. When kids are oblivious, that's the biggest failure.
Hey everybody, if you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
So you were in Dix Hills, is that correct? The name of the...
Yeah, Melville, technically, but yeah,
right.
That area.
Okay. You have this nautical themed. I just need to know about your B'nai. B'nai means two, you fuckheads. More than one. It's bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah, but then B'nai mitzvah means more than one. So
yeah,
it doesn't mean two. It means more. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Who fucking cares? So you have that. Were you involved in the planning of your B'nai mitzvah? Like, were you this kid who was like, and like, were yes. you involved in food? Like, when did you get the whole?
Food was after, but I was involved. I literally made the invitations for my B'nai mitzvah, which is funny. And my sister and I made like, we made like mixtape, you know, like everyone got a CD with like our favorite songs.
Oh
like,
my God.
So weird.
No, that's so cute.
I don't know how we ended up here, but and then we talk a lot about like, and I bring this up and not enough people have seen this movie. And I do think that it needs to be like education before you go through a bar mitzvah is Keeping Up with the Steins.
Right.
Iconic movie, Daryl Sabara, right. Joe Kevin. And it's about competing bar mitzvahs in right. LA and this idea of keeping up with the Joneses and right. it becomes all to do separate from the actual meaning of what a bar mitzvah should be.
Right.
My sister and I ended up on a yacht that went around the Long Island Sound.
No fucking fuck shit.
That's why it was nautical themed. It wasn't like a crazy thing that we would love the ocean. No, it's because we were on a boat.
Okay. Here's what I have to say to all of that. And I might have mentioned this before on the podcast. For my bat mitzvah, for my mother was, and I'm talking about these old fashioned values, okay? So my mother was born in 1922. My father was born in 1916. Okay? And they were older when they had me. So they didn't care of what anyone thought and, my grandmother, 1896. So first of all, my sister drew the invitation, calligraphy. She made them. And then I don't know if I told this story once, I think on a podcast. My mother, for my brother's bar mitzvah, they had brunch at the house afterwards. That was it. They were like, everyone's coming out of a cake with sparklers. I'm like, Mom, and no, Judith, that's not what it's about. No, Judith, that's not what it's about. So then my sister had dessert after her bat mitzvah because it was on a Friday night. And then I had the biggest one. We had dinner for everyone at the synagogue before the bat mitzvah. And then I did the bat mitzvah. And then, which is also probably why I hate meeting an audience before I go on stage. And then we had dessert afterward. And that was it. And my mother gave, you know how you got gifts? You give the CD and everything. And then they would have photographers and then cartoonists. And, you know, I got all these gifts. My mother gave the boys keychains and the girls little purses to put their change in, like a little, right? And I was like, look, I am so unpopular and this is not helping. Not helping.
Yeah, but that's what it was. And my parents gave us the option. Oh, you know.
Wait, I just have to finish the story. I'm in the Hebrew Home for the Aged with my mother. I don't know. We go out to lunch. We take her to the diner. She's like, I'm paying. And she pulls out one of the purses.
Oh. I love that. My mother keeps everything. She has everything.
All right.
She has
everything. Sorry for cutting
you off. But my parents very much like they gave us an option. They were very clear that they wanted us to do something small at the temple, just the family. And then we had the option to go on a family vacation anywhere in the world we wanted. So we could do that or have the party.
Oh. My
we were about the trip the entire time. We were like, we're going to do an African safari. We're going to have a small bar mitzvah. We're going to go on a big family African safari until we move to Long Island. And then all of a sudden you start getting
so
invited to all of these bat mitzvahs. And it becomes a thing like, are you going to be the one person that doesn't do it? And it's a regret. I know my sister and
if you could go back.
If we could go back, we would have done a small family thing and gone on the family trip. Because that's separate from what
that is fucking crazy. Did you invite any of the kids from Bayside to your bar mitzvah?
Interesting. No, I didn't. That's a great question, but I did not. Yeah.
That's so sad.
I wasn't very popular. It's okay.
Well, oh my God. I was. High maintenance. So speaking of not being popular, which I love talking about with, because you know, I've had people on who are, you know, pretty big stars who are like, oh, I was a cheerleader. I was like, ew. Like,
yeah, no.
No, I did not have that. Like high school. I got up, anxiety. Ugh, I can't believe I have to fucking go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that you, when you went to high school, I read that you would run home to watch Food Network and the Barefoot Contessa.
Yeah.
So what was high school like in this Jewy? And was Jamie popular?
I think she was more popular than me, but because of our birthdays, she's very early in the year, I'm very late in the year.
Right.
We were two grades apart. So we never really had much overlap.
When's your birthday?
I'm New Year's Eve.
My girlfriend's New Year's Eve!
I love it. Love it.
Oh my God! I can't wait to tell Elisa. Oh.
And I was a heavy kid. And I wasn't popular. Same. I was a nerd. I wore jeans to high school until like 10th grade. But at the same time,
what did you wear?
Sweatpants. Like I was like,
oh, all
like,
right. Like, I was like, yeah. Slacks. Okay, go ahead.
I was on the debate team. I was
smart.
But then in 10th grade, I got suspended for smoking weed on a debate trip.
And good for you.
That was probably the beginning of like the
transformation.
Shift.
Yeah.
And then it was junior year. I had a community start throwing these little dinner parties for friends. They weren't good by any means, but I'd have people over and I would cook.
That's so fascinating.
Like 8 friends, like 6 to 8 friends. I have
were there any of them gay?
No, that's the thing. No one was. I wasn't out. No one.
Right. Of course,
it was not very a thing that you were.
And
out.
What year is this?
This is 2010.
That's fucking crazy. I mean, yes. When I think of 2010, it's like yesterday.
2009, 2010, right. And then that's when I really started getting into fitness, and was like, okay, let's.
So you let's changed change your body.
I changed my body completely, and. So then senior year, it was kind of just like from freshman where I was like a loser to senior in which I became like kind of popular within my own space. I wasn't like a jock, but everyone knew who I was. They were like, you know, like senior superlatives or everyone's doing that. Like there were write-ins and everyone wrote me in as best chef, which was just like, because that was like my nickname in high school.
Right.
And it became this thing where I built this community and this name for myself. And it was good enough for me to have my group that we would just go and get high and
eat, which is my favorite thing to do. So you started having these dinner parties, which is so adult. what would you make at your first high school dinner party? Like for,
I remember.
There'd be 9 of you, right? And was your mother?
Like, yeah.
And your mother was like, use the kitchen.
They have an option. I was gonna do it.
Okay.
And both my parents were working so much, so they were never home.
Right.
And it was Ina Garten's ratatouille with Ina Garten's like this Parmesan polenta. And then Giada had this like chocolate tart that was so stupidly easy, but great. And all the way it was like chocolate graham crackers and butter pressed in, and then you mix like melted chocolate and honey. And poured it in, and with like heavy cream, and you put it in the fridge, and people would go like, "This is so good," because we're kids and we're stupid, and we don't know any
and you're
better.
Stoned.
We don't know
yeah.
good food. And it's just like we're at a time in which nobody's parents. I don't remember having like friends who had parents who were incredible cooks. That wasn't really a thing. It's funny because like living in New York now, like I feel like everyone's an incredible.
I know.
Cooker. I just know so many more people that like prioritize like cooking and food and salt, but. That's something that I don't know. It was just this fun
it's so
thing.
Adult. And it's, yeah.
It's the exchange. It's very transactional. I'm cooking for them, but in exchange, they're giving me love. And I really, I was obsessed with that.
Well, that's like comedy, you know?
It's
Yeah.
It's validation.
It's the same,
it's everything you want. Yeah.
So you then end up going to the Culinary Institute. Mm-hmm. Where did Jamie go? To college. She went to...
Funny enough, she went to Alabama. University
that's
of Alabama.
That's where Elisa's niece went. Okay, go ahead.
But so she was very much and again, my parents got divorced when we were in high school. It was like tough. It also happened like right before my senior year of high school. So it was difficult, but then I got to leave and my sister had to stay for another 2 years of the craziness. And so she wanted to get far away. So she went to Alabama, but that winter while she was in Alabama and I was at CIA, we did Birthright together.
Oh!
And with a
friend. And you went to Israel.
We went to Israel and we came back and she became a lot more in touch with Judaism and was like, I can't be in this place where there are no Jews anymore, and transferred to Baruch here in this in Manhattan.
Yeah, I noticed that she graduated from Baruch on my research. Yeah.
And the craziest thing was, I think it's the reason, it's hands down the reason why we were so close, is that at that time I was working at Sever magazine, unpaid, yeah. I think at that moment, or if I was getting paid, it was like it was minimum wage.
Right.
So I'm making no money. I'm working 5 days a week at the magazine. Saturday and Sunday, I'm working at this spin studio in my neighborhood because they gave me a free membership. And it's the only way I could have a gym membership is if I worked and got it. So my mother goes to me, she goes, listen, Baruch, I was living in Murray Hill, and naturally as all Jews do after college. And Baruch is just below Murray Hill. Right. And the dorms for Baruch are all the way uptown. And I was like, listen, if you let your sister move in with you, you can take her dorm money and put it towards your apartment. And I was like, I don't know if I could say no to this. And I just started dating my now husband,
Alex.
Yeah. And let me remind you, this was a 400 square foot studio.
Oh my God.
So she threw out my couch and replaced it with, I was in a little full bed, and she replaced it with a queen size pullout.
No.
And Alex and I were dating, so we'd like, he would often be over. And literally, it's like, it was like, whatchamacall, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with the grandparents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Together.
Yeah, with the hole in the wagon.
And that was like, that was us. And we did this for like 7 months. And it was hell. And there's this, like, my favorite story is there's this moment in which it was the first Hanukkah that Alex and I spent together. And I surprised him with matching Tiffany keychains because around this time that we were exchanging keys for each other.
Oh, I love you!
So I hid them. I hid the little blue box in his jacket because typically Saturday morning we'd wake up, we'd go get dressed, and we'd leave because my sister would still be sleeping. We'd go to his place. And he puts on his jacket. He takes it out. We're having this beautiful moment of like, oh, this is so sweet. And my sister just rolls over and she goes, will you either shut the fuck up or get the fuck out? And to this day, it's like our favorite thing. But that's the dynamic that we had. And then she started dating her now husband at the very end of us living together.
So there was even like, that's so funny.
It was just truly,
how many times do you say to each other, will you just shut the fuck up or get the fuck out?
It's actually now part of our it's a mantra that we have. We've told a lot of our family about it. Is during the pandemic, since we live in the same building, we were a pod. We did everything. We spent every day together. I cooked dinner for the four of us every night. We would do movie night. And we have this relationship that really can withstand complete and full transparency. As any Jew knows, it's like your family's gonna say,
well, we have no edit button anyway. Yeah.
No edit button. I was just like a little side note. I was at one holiday where my one aunt turns to the other. They hadn't seen each other in a while. And she goes, shame on you for getting so fat. I am sick. I have an excuse. What is yours? And it was just like, you just, you drop.
So chewy.
It's like, what are you saying? But one of our things is when we get to the point in any kind of interaction with the four of us in which it's time for space, ready for bed, we want just like alone time, it's like, okay, get the fuck out. And that's become our mantra.
Oh, that's
really
so
just
funny.
That we say, and we told our family, and sometimes it's something that they'll say too and joke. Because it's so honest and there's
and
no
direct
ill
and it
no
comes
ill
from
will.
Love. It's not it like get the, it's like, all right, I'm done.
It's like, get the fuck out. We're done. We want to then watch 30 Rock. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Rock must be the rain of my cup.
Thank you so much.
Be a
for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with the one and only, the gem, Jake Cohen. I fucking love this guy. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards. Now, please subscribe and leave a review. Please. It's going to really help me continue doing the podcast. So if you could do that, 5 stars, please. 5 stars. Unlike my Uber. I think my Uber rating is going up now. I think people misunderstood me in the beginning, you know, when I was trying to be friendly and stuff. And now I do the don't talk selection, and now everyone loves me. So all I do is say hello and goodbye and thank you so much. So yes, please subscribe, leave a review. Hanukkah. Oh, Hanukkah is on Sunday and you're gonna buy my book. Yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble because it's really good. And if you love comedy like you should, you'll buy it for everyone in your family. It's really funny. And don't forget to get Jake's book called Jewish. It's a cookbook and it's really good. Oh, yeah. Okay, that was my Hanukkah song for you. So, yeah, get my book, get Jake's book, get everyone's book who's ever been on the podcast, but get those two for Hanukkah because they're the best. It's a good companion piece, as Jake said, but there you go. And I am thrilled for my first live taping of Kill Me Now since March of 2020 with my guest, the amazingly talented, hilarious Colin Quinn. So this is on Thursday, December 2nd at 7:30 p.m. If you're in the New York City area at the 92nd Street Y, do not miss this interview. Thank you all. Booster shots for everyone, huh? If you're not vaxxed, there's really something wrong with you. Where, you know, be safe around family. Give everyone big hugs if you haven't seen them. Enjoy the holidays. I know it's Thanksgiving, which is not a great holiday for a lot of people. So I'm going to take the politics. No, I'm not. It's a stupid holiday. Let's just admit it. It's like, look, that's not the story that really happened, okay? Can we all discuss it? That's not what really happened, okay? It wasn't all fun and games. People were living here, and we got rid of them, and it's shit. Anyway, but enjoy your turkey, and if you're vegan, enjoy your fake turkey, okay? Also, make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. I'm on TikTok at Judy Gold, J-E-W-D-Y-G-O-L-D, because I'm a Jew, and I'm proud. And that's it. So happy Hanukkah. Eat those potato latkes, the fried food, and then call your cardiologist because we all have one, don't we? And always, as we always say, so long.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.